We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is the Six Man Show, an Orlando Magic podcast with your hosts, Luke Sylvia and Jonathan Osborne, covering all things Magic basketball. By fans, for fans. Go Magic. What's going on, Orlando Magic fans? You guys are back with the Sixth Man Show. It is January 27th, 2022. Jonathan Osborne here. As always, I am joined by my co-host, Luke Sylvia. Luke, what up, bro?
Not much. We had just one game to break down tonight and today as you guys listen to this. So we'll be able to, you know, I'm excited for this episode. We got some things to roll out and things that I'm looking forward to.
Can we, before we get into like our housekeeping stuff, can we talk about Stacey King for like just a minute or two here?
That dude's a goober.
So the Bulls color commentator obviously had the issue with Jaylen, you know, his emphatic dunks towards the end of the Bulls game, and then was arguing with like every Twitter every Magic Twitter person
time.
The last couple of days to try to like just double and triple down on his just horrible Jaylen sucks take. He didn't even realize that Jaylen's reaction wasn't towards the Bulls whatsoever. It was towards a fan in the stands talking trash to Jaylen. And yeah, just like, oh my God. And then was trying to argue about how, you know, the Magic shouldn't be excited about beating the Bulls because they've been injured all year. Like, Stacey, you do not know the fight you are picking, my guy. What are you doing?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was annoying. I couldn't believe, I thought that he would just reply to maybe one person trying to go at him about it, because a lot of Magic Twitter was going at him about, you know, saying that, you know, Suggs shouldn't celebrate that way and you only have 8 wins right now and all that stuff. It's just stupid. And then I look at his Twitter and he's got like 40 replies to people, quote tweets, everything. And then of course you've got like the people who just like worship Stacey King and they're like, Stacey doesn't take L's. And it's like, nah, Stacey did. And the Bulls did. And it was stupid, man. It was really dumb. Like why he was entertaining it as well and just kept going. Like he clearly thought he was right. And I think that's what made me the most mad. It was like, he didn't, they already had pissed me off because the whole time, the whole first half basically, and maybe beyond that, they're calling Mo Wagner Franz Wagner. And then they start doing this stuff and Stacey King, it was terrible. I will say I watched the Clippers broadcast tonight as Orlando played them. Those guys were so much better in general, and they had their stuff. They knew their stuff. They gave props to the Magic. They weren't ever like, I didn't feel that way. I mean, sometimes there's some naturally homer things that they said, but for the most part, night and day between the Bulls broadcast team and the Clips.
The worst part was when Mo Wagner fouls DeMar DeRozan on like the clear path foul, which was like a hard foul, like whatever. Like if DeMar says like one little thing to Mo, like whatever, but gets in his face, puts his hand on the chest, and they're repeatedly calling Moritz Wagner, Franz Wagner, like, oh, this guy's only played 40 games. DeMar's been in the league for 13 years, like acting like this kid's an idiot, and they're not even talking about the right person. It was just ridiculous.
And Mo was playing his role very well, and they should know that about Mo. Like, you should be able to, like, that is his literal role, is to be a pest to the opposing teams, especially the star players. And it's the most obvious thing you could know about Mo Wagner. It was ridiculous to me.
I'm looking at Man Games Lost NBA on Twitter right now, and they have this whole chart plotted out about teams and kind of where they are in terms of the playoff race and the number of games they've lost, you know, due to injury, right? Chicago is like right in the middle, and like most of the teams in the league are clustered right around the middle. They had to expand the parameters of this chart recently, Luke, because they could not fit the Orlando Magic on the chart.
Yep.
They are all the way at the bottom right-hand corner of the chart. And like last week when they posted it, the ORL, the top of the letters ORL, were barely visible. They literally had to expand the parameters of the chart to fit the Magic. Like, that's how bad it's been. Someone needs to send this to Stacey King. Just ridiculous.
Oh, the crazy thing is, I'm sure he saw it, and he just like ignored it. So there you go.
I'm questioning that dude's eyesight. But anyways, we're not going to spend too much time on that. Couple of housekeeping things really quickly. We always shout out our patrons every single week. They help financially support the show. We would not be able to do all the things that we do without you guys. We love to shout you out. Shout out Court Cousins, Drew Gooden, Armin, Keith Garcia, Zico, Carson Tulo, Nathan Lynn, Ellis, Jonathan Borges, Norm L, Magic Player History, Giulio, and Bailey. Thank you guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Shout out Court Cousins, by the way. We got to, me and Kevin, we went to the Lakers game on Friday, which was a lot of fun. We got to meet the guys from Kyle and Peach from Court Cousins. Those guys came from Boston and Connecticut, came down. They went to the Lakers game and they went to the Bulls game on Sunday with a group from Reddit. So that was really dope. Super, super nice guys. Me and Kevin talked to them for like 10 minutes. Really, really funny. Awesome dudes. Great meeting you guys. If you guys are ever coming like from across the world or across the country or whatever, and you want to, you know, meet up at a game or something, let us know. We'll do our best to be there. We love meeting you guys. So if you're ever at a game and we're there, hit us up. Definitely, you know, more than willing to say what's up and, just chop it up with you guys for a few minutes. All right. We're launching kind of like a new feature on the show that we're really excited about. So producer Kevin had the awesome idea this past week that we should start like a voice mailbox so that listeners of the show can call in, ask questions. They can rant. If you guys want to curse us out and tell us we suck, that's cool too. We have bleeps that we can do. If you guys want to give us like fast food recommendations, we are always down for that.
Combinations. Any
type of food recommendations. Yeah, all kinds of crazy things. If you guys, you know, want to tell us about a great movie that you saw or an album that you listened to, whatever you guys can think of, we want to hear from you guys. So if you're interested in leaving a voicemail, you can call 407-603-1189. Again, that's 407-603-1189. We really, really want to hear from you guys. We want to make this a featured thing that we do, you know, every show or every other show at least once a week. So we've got a couple of those later on in the show. Producer Kevin's going to come and kind of feed those to us, go through your questions, comments, things like that. And we'll do that. So we're really excited about that. So make sure you guys give us a call. We're hoping that it's going to be a lot of fun.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, Luke. Let's break down the game from tonight. I'm still pretty upset about it, to be perfectly honest. So the Los Angeles Clippers, they're in the middle of an 8-game road trip, played in Washington last night. I think they were down, what was it, like 6 points with like 9 seconds left. Luke Kennard hits a crazy deep three. They get the ball back. I don't even know. I watched the highlights last night. I already forgot. But they get the ball back. They're down three. Luke Kennard gets fouled and hits the three, makes the free throw to win the game, beat the Wizards. The Wizards were up by 35 points at one point in that game, so horrible loss for the Wizards. But the Clippers had to fight like crazy to come back in that game. So tonight, just given the circumstances, Luke, this is a game that the Magic should have won, but the Magic fall 111-102 in this game. Luke, the craziest thing to me is that the Clippers did not shoot a free throw in this game until Eric Bledsoe goes to the line with 4:34 left in the third quarter. From that point, so over like the final 16 and a half minutes, the Clippers shoot 27 free throws. They shot 25 free throws in the fourth quarter alone, Luke. Like, we're going to get into the referees and a little bit later, but you know, this is the Magic had a 2-point lead going into the fourth quarter. They couldn't stop the Clippers all night from shooting the three ball. They shot 11 for 15 in the first half, 15 of 29 in the second half. So, I mean, still, I mean, 15 of 29 for the game. So what is that? 4 of 14 in the second half. Still good for almost 52% for the game. But the Magic, Luke, looked really great in the first half. You know, you have the lead, you know, at halftime. And you're down just a couple points at the half, I believe it was. You're up 2 points going into the fourth quarter. But the offense, Luke, just really great start to this game for the Magic. And then it just started to stagnate more and more and more as the game went on. The Clippers started to switch on like every pick and roll, which the Magic were doing a great job of in the first half. But yeah, the great looks that we were getting in the first half in the paint, really the team was super, super aggressive in the first half attacking the paint. That led to the Magic shooting, let's see how many free throws here in the first half. My computer doesn't want to load. I don't have the, so it was 10 free throws for the Magic.
They went 9 for 10 or something, wasn't it? Or
that was in the second half. My computer's not loading here. Of course, as I need it to load, Wi-Fi here at my dad's house sucks. 12 free throws in the first half. Again, that was just a byproduct of the Magic getting aggressive, getting great looks in the paint, and really just trying to run to the rim. And it kind of stopped in the second half. I felt like as the second unit came in, you know, guys like Gary Harris, Terrence Ross, Chuma Okeke, you know, the offense just really started to break down in rhythm. They weren't getting the same looks. And, yeah, I mean, you're just not able to keep up with the scoring effort of the Clippers shooting the ball so well. You start not to defend as well as this game goes on, Luke. And this is a game that the Magic, I haven't seen the post-game conferences yet. We jumped on here to start recording, but everyone on Twitter is talking about how the guys just seemed dejected during the post-game of this game. They know that they should have won this game.
Yeah, and I think that the biggest thing here is that in the first half, the Clippers are shooting lights out, especially, you know, they're shooting whatever, 60-plus percent or something like that from three at the end of the first half. The Magic shooting pretty terrible from three. And it's just very obvious at that point the free throws was you know, what was really keeping Orlando in the game, despite that discrepancy from, you know, efficiencies from three. So the Magic only shoot those, you know, they shoot all those free throws, and then in the second half gets going. Like you said, third quarter was the start of, like, you know, ticky-tack things being called. And I won't even blame this game on the refs, right? Like, I'm not ever going to, you're never going to see me blame a game on the refs. You're never going to say, like, oh, it was a ref's fault. No, this team has 9 wins this year, and there is a great reason for it. Yes, they are injured, but those who are healthy, the team is not great. We all know this, so I'm never going to blame it on the refs fully. The refs are essentially are the reason the Magic, you know, could be, if it even been in the game in the first half, only down one, despite the how terribly they were shooting the ball compared to the Clippers. To have, you know, for the Clippers to not have shot a single free throw, is pretty insane too. I think that the refs were just equally terrible tonight, but it was super odd because it was like they only felt like they could call it on one side of the court at it per half is what it really did feel like. So, yeah, I think that, you know, they put themselves in a really hard position there. You get outscored by 11 in the fourth quarter, largely due to free throws, as we said. It's just insane to me that, you know, the Clippers didn't shoot a free throw for the entire first half. And I'm sure that their fans were mad. I know their broadcasters were making jokes about, you know, the Magic are paying the refs and whatever. We need it, guys, by the way. But all that to say, for the Clippers to end up shooting, you know, 27 free throws in total, the Magic shoot 22. I mean, it's no wonder after that first half, if you kind of pull out the numbers for the second half, no wonder in comparison why the Clippers ended up winning this game, 111-102, and it wasn't even that close at the end. The Magic kind of pulled it in to make it look a little bit better.
Well, speaking of the refs, Luke, I think we're going to let our friend Preston tell our listeners exactly what happened tonight with the refs.
My name is Preston Wills. I'm from Richmond, Virginia, and I just wanted to say that short white ref tonight, he had it out for us, and he definitely has some issues with his eyesight. You know, I'd recommend him a pair of, you know, glasses at the nearest store, and, you know, I can even talk to some people I know and, you know, get him a prescription filled for that, you know, because, you know, it was pretty rough out there. Go Magic.
Appreciate you, Preston. Yeah, it was just really odd. the short white ref, I think is what he said. Yeah. I think that's what I heard.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just like really weird. You know, when that call, that foul on, you know, Eric Bledsoe started like kind of towards the later part of the third quarter, it, all of a sudden it was like three or four consecutive like ticky-tack fouls on the Magic. And the next thing you know, the Clippers are in the bonus. Clippers are in the bonus for most of the fourth quarter. And, like, yeah, obviously the refereeing was kind of slanted towards the Magic in the first half, but it was mostly due to the Magic being, like, really aggressive and, you know, a lot of contact at the rim. And the Clippers in the second half, especially the fourth quarter, it was just like the Magic would breathe on those guys. Mm-hmm. And the Magic just seemed to get screwed over in, like, the weirdest ways possible. Like, late in this game, Gary Harris hits a corner three, and then, like, it was 2 or 3 minutes later, there's a foul call, and the refs go to review the three from Gary Harris, and then they end up taking the three away from the Magic. And as Franz Wagner kind of got it going down the stretch here, you know, scored like 10 points in the last couple of minutes of this game. Had we had that extra 3 points from Gary Harris, this game might have been a little bit more, you know, interesting down the stretch. So we say this. It feels like every couple of weeks we have a game where the refs just seem to hose us at one point or another. You know, just weird, bizarre things happening that sometimes we just never get a real explanation for. But what we say every single time, Luke, is the refs they don't ever cost you a game, right?
Yeah.
If the Magic could hit anything tonight, if they were effectively guarding the three-point line, the Clippers probably aren't even in this game, to be perfectly honest. So appreciate you, Preston, for calling in. But, yeah, it's easy to point fingers at the refs and to make fun of the refs. I like to do that myself all the time. But what did you think, Luke?
So as far as the refs go, man, I kind of gave my piece just about that. I don't blame anything on that. I wanted to talk about, you know, that the Magic seemed to really lack attention to detail here in the second half. It seemed as though, you know, the shots weren't falling. They get a little bit more lax on defense because they're just frustrated the ball's not going in offensively. And that trickled into like three possessions in a row, I think, where the Clippers just got offensive rebound. It seemed like they just kept getting chances. Or, you know, I forget who it was, maybe Dell tries to save the ball from going out of bounds and passes it, you know, into, you know, a Clipper to a Clipper player, and then they get the ball and they get the ball back. And it's just like the Magic seemed to shoot themselves in the foot. Like, the areas where they were doing so well and what was winning them the game are the exact areas that they flipped in the second half, and especially that, you know, late into the third and the fourth quarter. where they just stopped really looking like a team. They stopped being able to do the things that got them to that point where they were still able to be, you know, within a point at half. They win the turnover battle 13-15. So they win the turnover battle. As you know, my thinking with the team this young, if you win the turnover battle, you need to win that game. Because you're not going to win any games as a young team. You're really not going to be able to make up for it if you have more turnovers that the other team force in that game. It's going to be that much harder to win it. The Magic shoot 25% from three to the Clippers 51%. There's just not... I mean, and another thing, Clippers shoot 89% from the free throw line, 24-27. Magic miss a couple more free throws than them despite shooting less. So, and they shoot 77%. So you just have to make everything that you get when you're a young team like this, man. And it sucks because it felt like this game was in the bag, to be completely honest. Like the Magic felt like they were in control at some point here in the early in the game. Dell goes to the free throw line first play of the game, splits his free throws, then has two back-to-back baskets, scores the first 5 points. And then goes on to score 11 in the game. I do want to say, Jonathan, I mean, I don't know if you have a piece to reply to anything that I had just said here, but I did want to point out Franz Wagner, he padded the point part of the stat sheet near the end of the game, you know, ends up with 21 points. He had some easy ones there down the stretch when the game was practically over, but he did have 9 assists. It was point Franz sometimes tonight, and that is my favorite version of him. 9 assists, man. Cole Anthony has 11 assists. Cole Anthony, 7 free throws tonight, Jonathan. Unfortunately, Jalen wasn't able to continue his streak of getting to the free throw line. He did not go to the free throw line once this game ends the game with 14 points. Gary Harris, 14 points. I mean, this game had all the makings for the Magic to just win this game outright, Jonathan.
Well, so, I mean, you just kind of go down, like, especially when you're looking at the, you know, three-point percentage when you go down the column. You know, Wendell 0 for 2, Mo Bamba 0 for 2, Cole 2 for 5.
0 for 4
Chuma,
for Bamba.
0 for 6. 0 for 4 for Mo, yeah. Mm. 0 of 2 from Moritz Wagner, 0 of 3 from Terrence Ross. Like, Chuma Okeke last 10 games heading into tonight shooting 38% from the floor, starting to, you know, really, you know, shoot the ball better as of late. And
from
then
the
just
three
comes
or from
an
the
absolute
floor?
Stinker tonight. From the three.
Okay,
I might have said from the floor. 38% from the three-point line last 10 games for Chuma Okeke. So a lot of these guys just kind of laying eggs tonight. It was good to see Cole Anthony, you know, bounce back. He had 10 points in the third quarter, finishes the night with 19. 5-11 from the floor. He's a guy who's been struggling offensively as of late. But 6 rebounds, 11 assists, 2 steals, and a block tonight. Like, yeah. He was really causing a lot of problems defensively for the Clippers, which when he didn't have it going, you know, initially offensively, that's what you're asking of Cole. You know, just stay engaged, do all the little things, and he was doing that tonight. And, like, really, I mean, we can make all the excuses in the world, but the Magic just gave this game away. Like, they had every opportunity to win this game. You know, you go down by, you know, I think it was 9 points, you know, late in the fourth quarter multiple times. The Magic, you know, would go on a little, you know, 3 or 4 point, you know, kind of run, and the Clippers would extend the lead back out to 9. So, you know, a team when we're looking, and right now their best players are Terrence Mann, Nicholas Batum, Luke Kennard, Reggie Jackson. Like, that's a game that the Magic, you know, really should have had a chance to win tonight. And again, you end up giving the game away. It is what it is. Like, a team shoots, you know, they started the game 11-15. You get a little bit of a break in the second half. But like you said, you know, you win the turnover battle. You got to find a way to win these games, Luke. And, apparently, you know, the Magic seem pretty upset by all reports, you know, in the post-game pressers tonight, which they should. They gave the game away. And the morality of this team, like, the morale of this team is only going to be this high for so long. Like, eventually, at some point, the losing gets to these young guys because they are used to being on competitive teams and winning their entire lives. And then all of a sudden, they're in the NBA. You have a team that is this young. It's, you know, you still have multiple, you know, guys that we consider to be, you know, are going to be big contributors to this team are still out. And, like, at some point, like, I was so impressed that it didn't happen during that 10-game win streak. But losses like tonight, Luckily, you've got Friday night. You've got Detroit at home. You cannot ask for a better opportunity to bounce back. If the Magic could handpick any team in the league right now to play, it should be the Detroit Pistons.
Yep.
Detroit Pistons, by all accounts, are the second worst team in the league. The Magic have been the worst, you know, largely due to injuries, but you know, it's the point still stands. But Friday night, you've got to come out and you've got to destroy the Pistons. Like, if the Magic don't have a double digit win over the Pistons, I will be disappointed. Perhaps should they beat the Pistons by double digits? I don't know, but that's the kind of response that I want to see from this team after you destroy the Bulls Sunday night, and then you just give away a game to the Clippers, who on paper you should have a chance to beat. The Magic were favored in this game. It was the first game they were favored in all year. It took 49 games, Luke, for the Magic to be favored in a game. And I texted you and Kevin. I said, just because the Magic are favored in this game, it is a lock that the Clippers are going to cover and the Clippers are going to win this game, just because that's the way that this season has gone. But all of that, you know, you put all that together, and I really want to see the Magic respond, you know, in a major way Friday night against the Pistons.
Well, and the last thing I'll say here about that, with the Pistons, obviously, is the last time the Magic played them, not too long ago here, January 8th, the Pistons were favored by 1.5. Now, the Magic didn't have WCJ in this game. They lose by just 5. I think that the Magic should have every chance to be favored 2 games in a row, Jonathan. And I think to earn the respect of Vegas, which obviously we don't care too much about, but to earn the respect of Vegas, you gotta cover the games that you're favored in. And if Vegas is laying it all out there being like, hey, this team with 9 wins, they're favored tonight, regardless of circumstance, you got to win that game, man. I really thought after I had said that, you know, the team is going to put together 3 wins in a row. It was going to be the Bulls, the Clippers, and the Pistons. I really thought, looking at this spread tonight, Jonathan, even yesterday when I was like, the Clippers are only favored by 1, I was like, Vegas is on my side. It's over. The Magic are winning 3 straight. And that is why this loss hurts even more, because I was like, I know these guys could have won this game. And then you go into the game against the Pistons on Friday. Anything can happen there. Both teams are terrible. Would love to see the Magic be, you know, not only favored, but actually pull out the win for the 10th win. They, like you said, these guys are used to winning. Well, right now they have lost over 4 times the amount of games that they've won at this point. So hopefully they can get it done against the Pistons.
Well, Luke, currently on the ESPN Basketball Power Index, the Magic on the matchup predictor are favored 61.5% to the Pistons 38.5%. So the ESPN Basketball Power Index.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
There's a chance, and again, you know, anything, like if the Magic win by 9, I'll be like, okay, I'm happy about the win. But like, the Magic need to come out on fire Friday.
I need a Cole 40 burger against the Pistons. I need it bad.
That'd be great. Or a little, you know, give me a Franz or a Cole 40 burger going head to head with Cade Cunningham.
Totally,
you
know,
rookie
fine.
Of the year discussion. I'm all for that. All right, we're gonna take a quick break, hear from our friends at Manscaped, and then producer Kevin's gonna come in and we're gonna get into your guys' voicemail. Super excited about that. Guys, cheers to 2022 and resolutions you can actually keep. How about having clean and shiny balls all year round? Our sponsors at Manscaped are here to save your balls this year and make the ball drop into 2022 the cleanest and sexiest ever. Set your first New Year's resolution with good intentions and join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use code 6TH. That's S-I-X-T-H for 20% off plus free shipping.
And inside the Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the Signature Lawnmower 4.0. This electric trimmer is designed to trim hair on loose skin. The advanced skin-safe technology reduces cuts and nicks on your delicate nuts. It also comes equipped with a 4000K LED spotlight that will shine a light to the promised land 2022 looks to be. A grooming routine isn't complete without applying Crop Preserver and Crop Reviver before showing off your 2022 self. These unique formulations take care of the smelliest part of your body and are a big boost to your confidence into the new year. To complete the set, Manscaped threw in their shed travel bag and anti-chafing boxer briefs as free gifts to keep all your goodies stored comfortably.
Get 20% off and free shipping with the code 6th at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code 6th, S-I-X-T-H. It's new year, no pubes in 2022 with Manscaped. All right, guys, like we said at the top of the show, this is the first episode where we're doing it, where we're having you guys call in and leave voice messages on the show. Again, can be questions, rants, whatever you guys want. If you guys are interested in leaving us a voicemail, it is 407-603-1189. So producer Kevin is going to join us in a second here and is going to start feeding us these questions. So, Kev, what we got?
Hey, guys. First voicemail comes from Baldemar. He's got a question about Jalen Suggs.
Hey, yeah. My name is Baldemar Merlo. I'm from Avon Park, Florida, and I'm just calling in just to get your guys' opinion on this. I personally think that Jalen Suggs is that guy. He's the franchise player that we need, leading us to the playoffs, to the championship, you know, whatever you want to say. I think he's that guy. I just love his size. I love his skill set. He's super aggressive, really athletic, to be honest, after those two slams he threw against Chicago the other night. But I know there's another side of the coin, I guess, where people think that, you know, maybe he's not up that franchise player, that maybe he just pans out to be like a Drew Holiday type player. Like, that's his ceiling, you know, just a great maybe second piece, third piece to a championship team. I just want to get your guys' opinion on him because I'm really high on the guy. I love the kid. He's crazy talented, crazy skills, and I was amazed that he landed to us in that pick. But I just want to get you guys' opinion on him. Do you guys think he's that guy, the franchise player that we were, like, been searching for? Or, you know, can he pan out just be, like, the second guy that we needed? Like I said, like a Drew Holiday type of player, because I see a lot of that comparison to him. So, yeah, that's basically the question. And then, again, I mean, I love you guys. Love the show. You guys carry me every morning. Yeah, take care.
Baldemar, you carry us every morning, first of all. So thank you so much for calling into the show. Really appreciate that. Great question. Luke, I'm going to lead by saying there is nothing wrong with being Drew Holiday.
No.
Like, absolutely not. Like, Jalen Suggs becomes Drew Holiday.
I'm full. I'm cool
Jeff
with that.
And John did quite all right with that number five pick. But let's kind of go back to the first part of it. Can or will Jalen be the franchise guy? I think he can. I think especially what we're seeing since his return the last six games, the improvement that he's made since he's gone out. So since coming back, Luke, in six games, averaging 15 points per game, five rebounds, four assists, still 3.2 turnovers. Still got to figure that out. You know, still a rookie kind of figuring things out there. But he's shooting 46% from the floor, 23% from the three-point line, not great, but 77% from the free throw line on 4.5 free throw attempts per game. He seems much more under control most of the time. I would say 95% of the time. He's still got a little bit of that rookie indecision in him, but taking contact much better now, finishing at the rim much better now. Kobe Price released an article today talking about that, how there were a couple of the assistant coaches that Jalen worked with while he was out. Basically, they called it finishing school. So he couldn't really do much, you know, with the right thumb in terms of shooting while he was out and healing. So they really focused on his finishing with the left hand. And I think we're starting to see that work pay off. He's going to continue to get more comfortable, going to continue to improve at that. But the kid, I've been saying this all year, is objectively the best defender on the team. The Raptor stat, which I'm not even going to pretend like I understand, but he's one of the highest rated players in the league in that rating, which is like some type of defensive algorithm, I guess, right? We could say, Luke, I really
somebody's
don't know.
Smarter than us.
Smart people told us that it says that Jalen's a great defender. So
Jalen sucks, good defense.
Yes. Jalen good at that.
Good at that. Yeah. So, yes.
As far as we need to go.
Right. And real quick, I'll just say defensively, I think is where he's provided that biggest lift. Obviously, the statistics are there since he's come back that he's just better finishing around the basket, which is great. He's consuming contact. I was watching, like I said, the Clippers broadcast. They were complimenting his ability to absorb contact and be strong driving to the rim. This wasn't the case. Like, this was not always the case this year. He was not always doing that in college. Like I've said before, he shied away from contact. Another thing, that like an area that Suggs needs, if he wants to propel to that next level, Jonathan, he's going to need to become a better catch and shoot 3-point shooter in general. In college, ironically enough, shot better off the dribble from three than he did in a catch and shoot situation. Tonight against the Clippers, one of his two threes that he made was a catch and shoot three. So that was good to see. I think he shot 50%, 2 of 4 from three. So that being said, I think the potential is there more than I thought it was for Jalen prior to his break. But like we have said already, since he has been back, it seemed to be really good time off for him. I think eventually Jalen, if Jalen could be a Drew Holiday, give him to me. Right now, Drew Holiday is averaging 18 points a game.
Champion Drew Holiday?
Yeah, 18 points, 6.4 assists, 4.6 rebounds. So I would give a lot of things for Jalen Suggs to just turn out to be Drew Holiday. Thanks for the question.
Last bit of Jalen Suggs propaganda here. On the season, the Orlando Magic are 23rd in defensive rating. Since coming back, the Magic are 8th in defensive rating. So that's a big improvement.
Can't argue with that right there. Next voicemail comes from Jose. He's got a thought about Franz and a little bit about the team as a whole.
Hey, guys. What's up? I'm a big fan of the show. My name is Jose L. Vargas. I'm from Altamont Springs, Florida. And, you know, I just wanted to say that even though we've been losing lately, you know, we started winning a couple games. Then Franz Wagner, you know, he cooled down a little bit, but I like the way he's playing defensively. Playing smart, playing through his role, not forcing shots, which is very good for a rookie, you know? So that's very good of him. Jalen Suggs has been looking all right, too. Finally finding a little bit of his stroke. He's looking like the leader that we drafted. So I just like the way the direction the team's going. We're not expecting wins every night, but we're getting a very exciting young team, and I'll take that. I'm happy with that. Anyways, guys, big fan of the show.
Luke, you want to take this one?
Yeah, so I mean, he talked about Franz and just his ability to, not necessarily get caught up in just, putting up shots and trying to be a superhero. Not necessarily like the past few games here. He's not been incredible. Specifically, I think from three, his 3-point percentage is down a little bit these last like 10 games or so. So, there's a little bit there. I think that as far as this goes, man, Jalen or Franz here talking about, he said Jalen, right? He was talking about him being a good leader, I believe. And I think that was the biggest thing. Jalen during his time off was, on the sideline, you could see him being very vocal with the players and key points of the game coming down in a crunch time here, just trying to help coach up the players, see things maybe they haven't seen, as he was watching the game from the bench. I think his leadership has taken a next step after that, against the Bulls, kind of doing, it's Magic City, that type of stuff. I think that's the type of thing that is an intangible in a player, is just being a leader. And I'm really hoping that Jalen Suggs is becoming, at the very least, a good leader for this team.
Yeah, I think, when it comes to Franz Wagner, we've been talking about him all season and how great he's been. I put out on Twitter, a few weeks ago that, I was worried that when we start getting guys back, that, Franz wasn't going to be as featured, in the offense. And I think there's a little bit of both, when it comes to that. I think, part of it is Jalen Suggs coming back. Obviously, he's a ball dominant guy. He's going to start taking some field goal attempts, a couple here, a couple there from different guys. But Franz, I think he's such a team first guy, and he's so unselfish that he hasn't reached the point yet where he's like, okay, I just need to go and get the ball and everybody kind of get out of the way and I'm just going to do my thing. And that's what he was doing in the month of December, when he averaged 19 points, won Eastern Conference Rookie of the Month. We just had no other choices. Like, Jalen was out, Cole was out for a lot of, the month there. And it was like, Franz, if you do not score 20, 25 points tonight, we are going to have no chance. And I've just become such a huge fan of Franz. Like, I feel so comfortable with the ball in his hands. He's always going to make the right decision. I feel like if he gets in the paint, it's game over. He's going to score. you know, or get fouled, end up at the free throw line. I think for me, that's like the next step in Franz's development.
Yeah.
We know he has that competitive fire in him, but like, you know, we've joked that Franz doesn't realize how good he is. And I feel like that is partly true. He just needs to be like, I am the man. Everyone get out of my way. And I'm about to destroy Cade Cunningham on Friday.
I think that, you know, before we get to the I think our maybe our last question here, I could be wrong there, but it could be, I think it's our last question. It's funny you talk about Franz, and it reminded me a lot of a way you talk about another Magic player, Jonathan, in terms of,
I don't even want to hear this,
in right terms now. Of doesn't know his potential, and he can get into the paint whenever he wants to. You've said the exact things about one Markel Fultz in the past, and
well, that's a fact.
And it is. Markel, you know, seemingly at his best, can get to the paint whenever he wants.
I thought you were about to get disrespectful. No, I truly did.
No, I just heard you say those things, and I was like, oh, you've said the same thing about Franz, and it's true.
My children, I love them.
So yeah, I you know, wholeheartedly agree with that about Franz, and I'm hoping that he can, you know, continue to be a leader, just like Suggs has been a leader, but also, you know, continue to produce on the court and kind of snap out of it here from three here as well.
All right, our last question of the episode comes all the way from Canada with a question about Cole that is sure to be a conversation starter.
Hey, Six Man Show. My name is Joshua Richard. I'm from Toronto. You know, my hot take is, could Cole Anthony actually be like our sixth man? You know, I know he's been going through a stretch right now, and I'm not saying, like, because of this small stretch, you know, he should be put on the bench. I'm just saying, you know, with Suggs emerging and a lot of us thinking Markel should be starting regardless, could Cole's future role on this team be a sixth man on this team? Thanks.
All right, Josh from Canada. If you guys don't listen to Tory Lanez, you might not get that. But I've been listening to Tory Lanez for like 10 years, way, 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 way back. That's an old reference there. You guys aren't going to get that. It's totally fine. All right. Is Cole a sixth man? I really don't know the answer to this question. Coming into the season, I was very confident that out of like all the guards, that Cole was going to end up being like the odd man out. And he played so well to start the season. It was like, okay, is this guy about to go on like a crazy run and, you know, probably end up getting snubbed as an all-star because the Magic just aren't going to be very good? And then around the time that he started to have the ankle injuries, you know, he just hasn't been quite the same player, hasn't been quite as offensively consistent. And right now, doesn't seem to be playing with that same like offensive bravado. The first few months of the season, he was just like, all right, I'm about to score right now, and there's nothing that anybody can do about it. He doesn't seem quite as sure of himself. And that's really weird for me because Cole, you know, in terms of confidence, is like a scale of, you know, 0 to 1,000,000. Like, Cole is somewhere at the top of the confidence scale. So that's been kind of strange to see. I think he's always going to be somewhat limited, you know, especially defensively, just because of his size. And again, he was shooting the ball so well to start the year, you know, from the 3-point line. It was hanging out right above, you know, the 40% mark. And then looking here, like last six games, just for instance, since Jalen's back, since I've already got it up in front of me, 4.5 attempts, he's shooting 25% from the 3-point line. And if we look back a little bit further, you know, to the last, you know, 10 or, you know, 15 games or whatever, I feel pretty confident that that is also the case. I'm actually going to bring up, let's say, all right, the last 12 games here, Cole Anthony shooting 26% from the 3-point line. So, like, what you're seeing, what the eye test is telling you right now, that Cole is not shooting the ball well, the stats, you know, the stats agree with that. So, what I think is, you know, still really encouraging about Cole is that he's still rebounding at a high rate for a small guard, you know, 5.9 rebounds over the last 12 games, 6.1 assists, and the offense still looks very disjointed when he's not on the floor. Mm-hmm. I think he's just not healthy right now. I think the ankle injuries are a part of what we're seeing right now, and I think he's just going through a slump. Now, is he going to get back to the guy that was dropping like 22, 25 a night? I don't know. But I think the truth with Cole, and Luke, you and I have talked about this, the truth with Cole is probably somewhere in the middle. Like, yeah, right now, he's probably closer to like a 17, 18 point per game score, which is totally fine. I'm not ready to say that Cole is going to be, you know, a sixth man. I think what we saw at the beginning of the year wasn't exactly true. What we're seeing right now isn't exactly true. I think it's somewhere in the middle.
I I think that you have to approach this carefully. I think that the way that this could be determined, I think it could go either way. And obviously at this point, you know, when Markel comes back and he is, you know, I don't know if they start him right away, obviously, probably not. If they do, he's on a 15-minute restriction or something. We know how the Magic are anyway. So I think by default, Markel, you know, when he gets back in the rhythm, he definitely doesn't have a minute restriction. I think you have to start Markel to start his time back when he's back, you know, fully playing those minutes. So your question becomes, essentially, are you putting Jalen Suggs on the bench or are you putting Cole Anthony on the bench? And it isn't as clear cut because Jalen looks better than he was and Cole looks worse. Now, like you said, still rebounding at a high rate. Assists, even for the year, he's averaging 5.8 assists, which is fine. And over 6 in the last whatever it was, 10 to 15 games, whatever you said. So you really have to, I guess, weigh it out. Like, which benefits you more? I think you could make a case for either of these guys at this point with Jalen kind of in his ascent and Cole kind of taking a step back to reality. I don't know if he's a 17-point-per-game scorer right now with, like, a fully healthy team around him. He's averaging 18 and in, like, an injury-riddled team right now. Obviously, in the slump, it hasn't helped, but he's shooting below 40% now from the field. You have to decide, really, do you value Jalen's defense in the starting lineup? Because him in the starting lineup, alongside J.I., Markel, Franz Wagner, and even Dell, that's a ridiculously good...
That's a top 10 defensive team. That's crazy.
I mean, right now they're 8th, right? And since Jalen's been back without J.I. on the court, without Markel out there, I think that you have to really weigh what you want here and what you're going to prioritize if you're Mosley. I would not fault him for starting Jalen and putting Cole off the bench solely to be a spark plug, be the Terrence Ross of old, right? In terms of, you know, he's able to do that. You said, you mentioned something, Jonathan. You said right now, when Cole is out of the game, the offense just seems like it's out of whack, basically. So do you, and then the other thing you have said, you know, obviously, I think that's a result of him being, you know, getting play time and the role that he's been without Markel being in. That's the same thing you say about Markel. And that's the same thing we should say about Markel. So when Markel's in the game, that's when the offense feels like it's flowing too. I think I can't believe he's done this to me. I think Cole on a fully healthy Magic roster could be a 6-man. For those reasons I've given. I think that I would have no problem with it. I don't think Cole would have a problem with it. Just in terms of like his role.
And don't let Greg Anthony hear you say this.
I know. But I am saying this, and the reason that I think Cole can keep the offense afloat more than Jalen can keep the offense afloat. Jalen can continue to anchor down the defense alongside the guys that I listed. When that's a fully healthy starting five, that is a scary defensive team. And then you have Cole coming in the game and he can put up the buckets that maybe the starting lineup wasn't able to because it's a very defensive minded starting five. And even until T. Ross gets dealt and Gary Harris gets dealt, if that happens, you've got them coming off offensively. Cole with them, I think that, you know, I'd love to see the numbers with, you know, eventually with Cole running alongside that bench unit and just kind of see what the offensive output is like with that. But I'm venturing to say it's better than when they don't have Cole in that group. So I think I'm with you. And obviously I'm talking to Richard here. I think I'm with you. Or Josh, sorry. See, the transcript threw me off here, and I blame this. It says it literally says my name's Richard. I'm from Toronto. So Josh.
Yeah, don't look at the transcript.
Josh, I'm with you on this one. I would, you know, I think that this is a good theory. I don't think people should crap on it. I think there's merit to this line of thinking right now.
I think we've talked about this for months and months. Jamal has a really difficult decision to make when guys start coming back. I don't necessarily think there's a wrong answer here. Like, if Jalen starts, I'm fine. If Cole starts, I'm fine. Like, it just kind of, you know, eventually, you know, people want to talk about, oh, the Magic might have a logjam at the guard position. Eventually, in the right environment, curated the right way, the cream will rise to the top. The best players will prove to us who they are.
And the best lineups.
And the best lineups will reveal themselves. Yep. So, well, people, you know, might criticize Mosley's lineup, so I don't know how people are going to take that.
It'll be apparent to us.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. But here is hoping that Franz is just like, yo, I am that dude. I need my fair share of the pie. Because I don't feel like he's getting that right now. And I hope we see that change, as he kind of matures and grows into his own in the NBA. But, Luke, I think that's going to do it for this week. I think that's going to do it for our first week of the voicemail. Shout out producer Kevin for lobbing those softballs up to us to knock them out of the park, as they say. But, yeah, if you guys want to be featured on the show, if you want to leave a voicemail, again, leave a question, a rant, curse us out, whatever.
Call anytime.
407-603-1189. You can literally call anytime. The phone doesn't ring to anybody. It is just a voicemail box. Do not worry. If you wake up in a cold sweat at 4 a.m. and you want to rant about this Clippers loss,
send it on here.
Please call us.
Don't worry about it.
So, all right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for this week. For Luke Sylvia, this has been Jonathan Osborne. You guys are listening to The Six Man Show, and we will catch you guys next time. See ya. Thanks for listening to The Six Man Show. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and Stitcher to get new episodes downloaded directly to your phone. Please take a minute to give us a 5-star rating and a review. It would really help us out a lot. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Six Man Show and like us on Facebook. We'll catch you guys next time. Go Magic!
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.